Welcome back to the Bodhi Tree. On this evening's show, my guest is Sarah McCombie, and we are going to be speaking about experimenting with bringing ritual into your life. So, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me.
You're welcome. So, rituals and how have they impacted your personal journey, and what kind of rituals have you experimented with on your personal journey?
Yeah, well, it's a fairly recent thing, and it's not, they're not words I ever thought I'd be using. They kind of belonged in a different world, and one that I didn't have any interest in. Or I'd go to festivals once a year and there'd be those people over there doing rituals and stuff, and I'd be like in a different paddock, in a different field, doing a different thing. But I just had this really kind of wonderful, serendipitous bunch of things happen. I was listening to a podcast by a woman called Kate Northrup, whose mum is Christine Northrup, that wrote a book that many, many women know. It's a great big fat Bible for women about women's health. So Kate Northrup's her daughter, and she wrote a book called Relaxed Money. And money, a love affair. And it was just really refreshing to hear a woman talk about money and spirituality all at the same time. And I was kind of on this journey of wanting to unlock my, all my, can I swear?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. All the shit I've got about money, you know, and all the times it's held me back, and it's just become this thing that I don't want to look at too much, but I know it has a grip on me. So I've been wanting to overcome it. So anyway, I was listening to this podcast, loving what she was saying. It was really relating to me as a woman. And I thought, oh my God. Yeah. Can you earn money and still be spiritual? Because there's part of me that just wants to be fucking, you know, I want money. Yeah. I want to feel really good about it. But I had this really strange relationship with it. I couldn't square it with being spiritual. And at the same time, I couldn't really say that I was necessarily very spiritual either. But when she raised that question, I thought, ah, there's a nugget there of something that's been holding me back for a long time. So she was banging on about this, and I was really enjoying it. And then she said, anyway, I'd like to introduce you to a really good friend of mine, Sarah Jenks. And then Sarah Jenks started talking, and she introduced herself as an ordained priestess. And I was like, what the fuck? I didn't even know that was a thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, what? And she was so down to earth and so relatable. And she said, yeah, for real. And spoke about her journey and her life of wanting to... Well, in fact, she hit the headlines because she runs something called Holy Women, and it's an online community of women all over the world that come together once a month for the new moon and celebrate with her in her temple at home. It's all filmed. Mm-hmm. And so the invitation is to set up your living room, have an altar there, and just join her and 900 women around the world, 40 of which are in her temple, and celebrate the new moon. Each moon is in a different archetype that she's embodying that month, depending on where the moon is and what planets. Again, I still don't really know what I'm talking about because I'm still learning all of this stuff, but it just sounded fascinating. And the more I heard her speaking, the more I just thought, I don't know what this is, but I really like it, and I really like you. And ever since I let go of my extremely religious upbringing, there's always been a sort of a spiritual muscle that's been there, mm-hmm. and has felt sort of devoid, and just has been there, and I haven't known what to do about it. So I feel like I've been drifting for a long time. And all the spiritual paths I've come across, I tried Buddhism for 5 years. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I've tried lots of things. But this was something that was speaking to me as a woman, and it felt really important. And again, there was lots of language in there that typically would have sent me running in the opposite direction. Words like, or phrases like, sacred feminine. Mm-hmm. Like, a year ago, I'd be like, oh God, can we stop? Or ritual, ceremony. But somehow she was kind of casting some sort of a, you know, magic witchery spell, and it was holding my attention. I was like, oh, you know, I think there's something in here. So I looked into her, and again, she's just a really relatable woman who's got an amazing story about how she was twin set and pearls, did everything right, brought up in the States, she's American, did everything that was expected of her, had the kid, had the husband that was training as a doctor, had the house, had the job, was really successful at it, and was miserable as sin. Mm-hmm. And she was seeing a therapist, and she tells this brilliant story of walking into her therapist's room. She said, now you have to remember, at that time I was in a polo shirt and chinos, or whatever she wore, I don't know, pearls, you know, like just straight as a die. And she said, I walked into my therapist's therapy session, and I walked in, and there was a smell in the air. And she said, the minute I smelt this smell, my whole body had this kind of visceral reaction. And there were chairs on the floor. But like she said, there were floor chairs. I'd never seen a floor chair before. Like there was no legs. It just sat on the chair, sat on the floor. And she walked in and said to her therapist, what happened here? And her therapist turned to her really mysteriously and said, I'll tell you when you're ready. And that just really piqued her interest. And she said she could smell this incense in the air, and she just felt like she was smelling or having a remembrance of something, and she felt like she'd come home. And that was the beginning of her eventually attending these women's circles each month with her therapist, who held these sessions. And has now been studying under her. She's been in her tutelage for like, I think 7 years, and then eventually became ordained as a priestess. And at that, she got ordained, but she was still hiding her altar and everything underneath her bed. She was, because she had like her regular friends, and then she had like the friends that knew this other side of her. And she was sort of closeted. And then she kept getting sick. And in her words, she said the goddess was like, come on now, you've be this all the way, be completely who you are wherever you are, don't hide any of you away. And then she got so sick one time, she was in hospital, everybody was pretty scared, and in her words she said, okay goddess, whatever you want, okay, it's time, I'm done. Okay, fuck it.
Let's do
it. She's there, thank you. She surrendered. And so she came out of the closet, and her wardrobe changed. And she was prepared to be who she was deep down inside with everyone, everywhere. And I think it's been like that for her the last 7 years or so now. Mm. Yeah.
And so you adopted exactly that.
Well, did I adopt it? I just thought, you're really cool. Like you're saying words like sacred feminine, and I'm not running in the opposite direction. You're talking about the history of the systematic, brutal erasure of the feminine. And she was giving me history lessons, and I've never resonated with history lessons, because they're history lessons, and she was giving me her story lessons.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. And I guess, yeah, just a whole bunch of things started to make sense for me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So how did that experience bring the art or the practice of ritual into your life?
Oh, my God, oh, my God. Okay, well, because she's sort of, so you, it's so modern. Like, you go on the website and she'll say, here's a download of what I suggest as a sacred start for every day. Now, even being given permission and somebody saying, have a sacred start to your day. Light a mm-hmm. candle. Mm-hmm. Pull a card. I didn't have any cards at that time. I've got shitloads now. Mm-hmm. But I was like, ooh. Okay. And she said, there's a reason why women resonate with this shit, it's because we always did this shit.
Yeah.
Like, thousands of years ago, up until about 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, there's a reason why this feels familiar. And again, just kind of dropping things in like that. Yep. There's a reason.
All gone goosebumps.
I know. Right?
Spirit bumps.
Spirit bumps. Yeah. And she said, the invitation was initially, it was very gentle, just between 10 minutes to however long you feel you can give yourself every day, drop in, light a candle, light an incense stick, just make a ritual out of being somewhere for 10 minutes and being mindful.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Oh, I'm loving this. Let's listen to a little bit of music and then we'll explore those rituals.
Cool. Hee
hee. So, Sarah, how do you set up your day? What rituals do you practice to set up your day?
Right, okay. So what's come into my day is there's a whole bunch of things I do. I meditate, I do stuff. But then what I guess the difference is I do now have an altar, and again I still can't even believe I'm saying that to you. I have an altar and it feels, do you know what? It just feels really feminine. Mm-hmm. It feels really feminine and a really beautiful focus that I've been given permission to do that I didn't even realize I needed permission for. Mm. And so every day, what do? I light incense, I light the candles, I just take a moment. There's beautiful things on my altar, and I'll change out the flowers or whatever it is, just things that mean something. Then I might pull an oracle card or tarot. I still don't understand tarot, so I just make that up. but again, I guess it feels as though this other realm is beginning to open up for me. And rather than write it off as silly and play it down, which has been the conditioning for me, mm-hmm. since a little girl, just don't be silly, stop that, that's not right, do it this way or whatever, I'm just going with the flow. Mm-hmm. And it feels really lovely, and I think I write things down. Oh my god, I've started journaling as well, so whatever insights I feel. And the other thing I've started doing as part of the sacred start, I guess, well, you know, everybody has different ways of talking about it. Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote the book Eat, Pray, Love, and then she wrote another book called Big Magic. She's an amazing writer and public speaker, and she goes around the world talking about things. And what I'm about to tell you actually came up in the beginning of the book Eat, Pray, Love, where she's on the bathroom in floods of tears in the middle of the night again. Her husband, ex-husband now, was in bed, and she was just at the end of her tether. Like, what was she going to do? She just was distraught, felt hopeless, and was sobbing. And I'm saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. And she felt moved to go and find a piece of paper, and she wrote down, what shall I do? Or something like this. And she said, I waited, and then there was this very discernible voice, but she began writing what she heard. And it was just very loving next step things. Go to bed, Elizabeth. You need to sleep. And it began this kind of... She didn't know who it was. Was it God? Was it her? She wasn't particularly religious, but it was real. But she took notice of it. And now it's become a daily habit. And what she talks about it as being is when she's writing... She is talking to unconditional love. What would unconditional love have to say to me right now in this moment? You know, sometimes she might have a specific question. And so anyway, I kind of began to bring this into my morning as well. And look, I'm about to say, I'm still trying on. Mm-hmm. Things like Great Mother. Goddess still feels a bit weird.
And me, yeah.
Yeah. Whew. Maybe might be okay at some point. I get it. Mm-hmm. But you know, I find it easier saying God than I do goddess. Mm-hmm. And of course, the thing about that is, and this is what I began learning with Sarah Jenks, is actually the impact of patriarchy. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't realized how deeply and profoundly my life is affected until I started to look into it some more. And again, I've heard about it for years, but I never really connected with it. I just didn't really, I got it, but I didn't feel it. And I guess I feel like I've been slowly waking up, mm-hmm. and going, oh my God, I do that because, mm-hmm. I've been programmed and conditioned, like, mm-hmm. before I was born even. Mm-hmm. Girls don't do that. You're too much. You're not enough. calm down, put that away, that's wrong. Sensuality, sexuality is out of the picture. You know, just basically calm your farm, pull it in. We've got it, as in men.
Mm. Behave.
And so I'd read about it years ago. I read this amazing book called Shakti Woman by a woman called Vicky Noble, who apparently is like the godmother of feminism in the 70s in the States. Amazing book released on Heretics Press. And she talks about the uprising of patriarchy 5,000 years ago, and that before that was matriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, matriarchy doesn't mean hating men. When matriarchy is there, there's an absolute and equal balance between the feminine and the masculine. What patriarchy has been is the obliteration of the sacred feminine, and it's all about greed and power. And again, I'd heard this stuff, but now, for whatever reason, because of me wanting to learn how to earn money and not feel guilty, and discovering Sarah Jenks, I'm like, I began to get it. And I took the lessons, and I've been reading and reading and reading. So all that to say, in my Sacred Starts, when I'm journaling, I'm playing with, Great Mother, what do you want me to know today? Great Mother, this is how I'm feeling. Blah, 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 blah. And I just wait. And oh my goodness. It's so perfect what she has to say. Whoever the fuck it is. But let's say her. It is her. Mm-hmm. I think it's her. Whoever her is. And it might be me. Might be higher me. Sideways me. I don't know. But the poetry, the love, the acceptance, the wisdom, the guidance, the generosity of everything she has to say to me every morning is mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel alone anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because my altar, to me, it's a safe place. You know, it's a place that I can turn to set an intention. If I'm feeling out of sorts, then I will do a little ritual at my altar.
Yes.
To help recalibrate.
Yes.
And bring me back into... I'm not really big on journaling, though.
It's not for everybody.
No, I've new moon and full moon rituals.
It's amazing.
And I call in the quarters. I open the four directions and invite them in. And I also write down on the new moon what my intention is.
Yes.
And on the full moon what I'm releasing.
Same.
And I write it in a little piece of paper and I stick it underneath my altar until the next phase of the moon. So if it's a new moon, I'll have it under the altar until the full moon comes around, and then I burn it on the full moon and replace it with my whatever it is I'm releasing.
I
on
love
the new
that.
Moon. And it just feels so safe. And I put my crystals out. Like it was new. It was a full moon in Taurus last
night. Yes, yes, yes.
And I put my crystals out, and overnight it rained. I put them out in a little crystal bowl, and overnight it rained. And I stick it in the garden, in the soil, in the garden, the bowl. And I love it when it rains, because then I get to drink moon water.
Yes,
crystal
yes, yes.
Moon water.
Oh, that's so gorgeous. I haven't done that yet, but I love that. I love that. And I guess that's the other thing that's come into my life. Ritual for me and ceremony is my understanding, my absolute and utter connection with the moon. And again, academically, I kind of knew. Intellectually, I sort of understood. And I'd heard it all. But I just didn't make this connection, because truth be told, in my mind, I was just like, I was judging other people who were a bit woo-woo, I think, even though, like my kids have always said, I'm a hippie, and I've said no, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
And again, the more I've learnt, that's the programming and the conditioning of the patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Is they've done such a great job at vilifying, denouncing, making fun of. That's the response and reaction I've had. But now, understanding how fundamental and connected we are to the moon and all her cycles,
mm-hmm.
and the gift with every new moon, and as you say, all the quarters and the full moon, and then bringing ceremony and ritual into that. So I plug into her once a month with that, but then she also has full moon ceremonies and all sorts of things. And it's, again, like opened, I guess, connected me with the cosmos, the earth, the cosmos, everything.
And you don't think you're a hippie?
Mabes. Yeah, look, maybe. And I think, oh, look, it's just so fascinating. All the times where I'm scared. Okay, so here's a piece as well. Epigenetics.
Mm-hmm. Interesting topic.
Oh my God, I love it. So, as you know, Bruce Lipton, the yep. godfather of epigenetics.
Yep.
And
lovely
so
man.
He's amazing. And so you can upregulate and downregulate your genes. It's not a given that you have to just be what your gene expression is. You know, you can change that shit depending on your environment. You can do things to change what might be, what is waiting there to happen. There's a predisposition there waiting. Are you going to create the right environment for it? And so, again, it's been interesting. I've always, before I even thought about past lives, look, I think I understand that there are.
Of course there are.
Yes, I know. There are. Before I even understood, I always used to say to people, I know that my childhood, like, warranted a certain amount of appropriate fear, but there was more. And I said to people for years, I feel like I came in scared. That's been the phrase that I've been using the last few years. And then to learn about epigenetics, to learn what was happening to women for thousands of years, the denigration, pulling out into public, the humiliation, the torture, the burnings, all of that, and that has become part of the collective DNA, mm-hmm. genetics, yeah. You know, that these feelings that I have aren't just mine from this lifetime. I've got shit going thousands of years back. And again, making that connection recently has blown my mind, because I feel like it's made sense to me, this part of me that's felt so scared. And
now you can give yourself permission to not feel scared anymore.
I can. Well, I feel like I'm still releasing that. I feel like I can give myself permission to acknowledge that and to understand where it comes from. And my mission at the moment is to feel my feelings all the way, which is really hard.
Mm. Yeah.
Because a lot of stuff's coming up.
Yeah. Our shadow, eh? Mm. Interesting part of us, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yes.
So, Sarah, something I found quite interesting is when we just broke for the music then, in the beginning of the music that played through, there was a voice in the background saying, "Thank you, unconscious." So tell us about how you think your unconscious brought you to where you are now.
That's a great question. I feel like there's a whole... I've begun writing it down. I feel like there's been a series of... You know those times in your life where you think, oh my God, all the dots are joining. Everything's been leading to this moment. And there's just been this... I feel like I haven't been following the breadcrumbs. I've been following bloody great big loaves of sourdough. Which I walked in and you made me a sourdough, which is so lovely. But honestly, it feels like I've just been following the loaves of bread that have been left for me. And yeah, there has been an inquiry, an existential inquiry, I guess, about what the fuck am I doing? Who am I? I have been working on a musical for... I've been writing a musical on and off for about 10 years. I wrote a song for my last album called Limbo. And the story of that song just really got me, haunted me, haunted all of us actually in the band. And I knew that I'd always wanted to write a musical, but I didn't know what to write it about. And then all of a sudden there's this girl, this woman that's come to me in a song. It's a really tragic story. And I just began working on it. And then had this amazing... So I got all these songs together and I started to cobble a story together that, of course, ended up actually being a story of my own family history. Mm-hmm. My mum got pregnant before I was born. She did.
How on earth?
And then she just...
Sorry. That's one of the funniest things I've ever... Mum got pregnant.
She got... Not with me.
Okay.
I thought, oh no, she's really lost the plot. Now I know why you think that's funny.
I thought you had lost
the plot. No. I'm not that clever or funny. Before I was born, she had a baby before I was born. Okay. That's what I meant to say. And she wasn't allowed to bring the baby home. And so she was sent to a mother and baby unit. It was in the 60s, 65. I think you're still going on that joke. She was sent to a mother and baby unit and wasn't allowed to bring her home. And she ended up having to give her up for adoption. And it's sort of along the lines of the story I wrote in Limbo, except... The girl that has the baby is told that her baby died. And so she is devastated and goes on to live goes on and into the rest of her life devastated, angry at God. She was brought up Catholic. Anyway, so I began writing this musical, My Name is Laverne. And in our musical, of course, many years later, after she marries and has two children, I'm sort of blocking out the death of her firstborn. There's a knock on the door one day and it's Laverne. Mm. Yeah. So anyway, I've been really enjoying working on it. Got singers together and we did a living room tour of it.
I saw it.
You did? That's right. Right here at 116.
That's right.
Yes. And so I was working really hard on that and we got it to a really great place. And then I needed to stop. Like, my health started to go downhill. And I thought, I actually need to take a break. So I just let the team know, and they were really gracious about it. So I've been spending the last year going inside. And I think...
And that's a ritual in itself.
Yes.
Isn't it, going inside. Connecting with your deeper self.
It really is, Shannon. It is. And I think that's the thing as well. The word ritual, bringing that back in to... I think ritual for me is about being present in every moment. Mm-hmm. Like, I've started lighting a candle before every meal to remind me, for goodness sake, to say a bloody prayer, to say thank you for the meal.
Thank you, yeah.
And it's not part, it used to be years ago, that's what we did. But what was it? Thank you, Lord, for these are gifts for which we're about to receive. Blah, blah, blah. So it was grace that we said before every meal when I was growing up. And then I rejected and moved away from. But now I find myself wanting... For me, ritual is prayer. For me, ritual is presence. For me, ritual is saying thank you. Saying thank you to whatever feels real for me that day.
Honouring it.
Honouring, yeah. It's given me a perspective, an honouring, as you say, a gratitude, for the amazing world that we live in.
Mm. On so many levels.
Yeah.
If we just focus on the positive, accentuate the positive.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that's really what's been happening for me the last year since I made the commitment to go inside and discover the cosmos within me.
Yes.
There's like, bugger me, there is a whole galaxy. There's
a whole universe.
A whole universe. And it's getting bigger by the day. And yeah, there's things are shifting, things are changing. Synchronicities are happening. People are coming. Lessons are coming. Learnings are coming. Who the fuck would have thought a year ago that I'd be thinking about, well, that there's such a thing as a priestess. Mm-hmm. And what is that? The woman that ordained Sarah Jenks is a woman called Elaine Kalila Doughty. And she runs a priestess presence school, and she ordains people, and she herself is ordained in the 13 Moon Mystery School by somebody called, can I remember this? No, I can't. She's, Ariel. She calls it Ariel Spilsbury. There you go. So wrap your mouth around this, people. Elaine Kalila Doughty was ordained in the 13 Moon Mystery School by thingy. Ariel Spilsbury. And when she talks about what a modern day priestess embodies and is about, she says it's a very boots on the ground, practical calling and service to walk as love in the world. Mm-hmm. And be of service in the community. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And the training that she's offering is, it feels like spiritual psychotherapy or something. Like, you're invited. It's tough, man. You have to go through all of your shadow, do all that shadow work. It's messy. But their thing is loving the shadow and loving the light. And alchemy happens when you bring all of yourself into the light. Then there's a chance for all of you to be transmuted and for the alchemy to happen and for healing.
Mm. Absolutely, because without darkness, there is no light.
Yes.
There has to be a bit of darkness in order to fully see the light.
I know. And the first time I heard about that, I was like, what? That's Plato, isn't it? Or no, I was going to say Pluto. Plato, is it? What, didn't he go in a cave? Wasn't it something about a dark cave, wall, light, blah, blah, blah? Of course. And I think he talks about duality, which isn't a thing, by the way. We are all, you know, this thing of separation is not true.
We are everything.
We totally are. But we're trying to read everything through our five senses, which, yeah, gets it wrong.
Yeah, it can do. Because our mind comes into it.
Yes.
Rather than our consciousness.
Yes. And I think the other thing that I'm really appreciating about living a more spiritual life, bringing ritual and ceremony, the ceremony piece is with Sarah Jenks, because she is an ordained priestess, so she holds space and she runs the ceremony, and it's awesome. It's so great. I was going to say something and it's gone.
I hate it when that happens.
I know. But it is, yeah, ceremony, ritual. Because it's about being, it's not about spiritually bypassing anything, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's about feeling the feelings. If you know, we're feeling things. We got to feel shit. And it's not about like bypassing anything and just thinking, no, that just needs to be, you know, and going to the spiritual bit straight away. No. I mean, yeah, you hope it's going to be transmuted, but it's about feeling the feelings and being in your body. And when Sarah leads you through journey processes, ceremony and all the rest of it, my goodness me, we are all fully anchored in our body, in our wombs, in our sacred vessels that we carry. Like, turns out we are a bloody portal. I didn't really think about that. And now I get it.
Our body is a portal.
We were born with a portal. So that as well is blowing my mind.
Well, this has been a really interesting and certainly entertaining discussion with you, Sarah. So thank you for sharing your story with us here.
Shannon, thank you for asking me. I've not really talked about this stuff in this way before. It's so weird that I would meet you and then you would say that. I go, oh, all right then, I don't know what I'll say, but it's just where I'm at the moment.
Well, you said plenty and it was plenty good.
thank you.
So you don't hide yourself under the bed.
No, I'm going to come out the closet.
Yeah. Or out from under the bed.
Out from under the bed.
Yeah. Wonderful. You've been listening to Beagle Radio 88.1 FM Whangarei and online at www.beagleradio.co.nz. If you want to get in touch with the station manager, you can email info@beagleradio.co.nz. Once again, thank you, Sarah, for sharing your story with us here at the Bodhi Tree. Until next month, folks, take care and many, many blessings. Break it!
addiction, your addiction, your television, your television.
En enfonçant l'aiguille, elle voulait casser les chaînes invisibles.